I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello, happy Tuesday, and welcome to the Killer Cuties podcast. I'm KD.
And I'm here too. I'm Cassidy. That's good. I think every once in a while, you know, what if someone comes in on an episode and we don't even say our names? They don't even know which voice to associate to who.
Yeah, that's true.
I've done that before where I start a podcast and they don't even have to sound similar, but sometimes you're just like, who's talking right now?
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Anyways, I'm Cassidy. I'm the nasally one who giggles.
And
I didn't mean to do that.
She did it.
I did it. I'm sorry.
She did it. And I'm Kitty, and I'm just annoyed.
That's us.
That's how I sound. I sound annoyed, I think.
Yeah, but it's cute.
I don't know. I've never gotten a hate comment about what I sound like.
Yeah, I have. They're like, this podcast would be great if that one girl shut the fuck up everyone.
Oh my god, so funny.
And they were right, so thank you for the feedback. Oh shit. All right, should we get into news?
Yeah, we have a lot of news.
Okay, I'll... Oh?
I was going to say, let me start with a sad one, but it's your turn first.
I get to start. Yeah. So I'll do one, and then you can bring the mood down, and then yeah. I'll lift us back up again.
And then we'll go back up, yeah, okay, cool.
Perfect. The fifth installment in the Hell House LLC franchise, called Lineage, is going to be getting a theatrical release this summer. Yeah, it's wow. The first one to do that. It's also apparently the first one that's not going to be found footage. Fans don't seem to be bothered by that, so I don't know. But yeah, this summer it's supposed to release in theaters, so you don't have to wait until October. Typically they release them on streaming in October for Halloween, you know?
Cool.
It still will be on Shudder by October, I think in October. So we're still good there. If you want to wait till streaming, you don't want to see it in theaters, that's fine. But that's exciting that it's getting a theatrical release.
So fun. Is it a full theatrical release or limited?
It didn't say. So okay. I don't know. Fingers crossed for a full one. That way as many people can go. Because I know it has garnered like quite the following.
Yeah. I guess assume it's limited. And then if it's not, then that's exciting.
Yeah, for sure. I guess I should look more into that kind of stuff, but usually even if it's limited, I live in Los Angeles, so I can find someone. Yeah, I'm selfish that way, so I don't think about other people, but...
Sad.
Yeah. But anyways, this is supposed to be the last one of the series, so it's going to give like a deep dive into the murders of Abaddon. So that's exciting for people who are fans and know what I'm talking about,
except for...
You're just staring at me because you've never seen them. But.
Couldn't be me. I do like a found footage, though. Sad that the last one's not going to be.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a found footage in theaters. I don't think ever. Have I?
Did you see Paranormal in theaters?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think I saw a clue. I remember seeing the signs outside of theaters for Cloverfield, like you're going to get sick.
Mm.
But I didn't ever see Cloverfield in theaters.
Yeah, I don't think we've done... a found footage as our new movie, so.
Yeah, I know. Too bad.
One day.
Yeah.
Someone put out a found footage movie in theaters so we can go see it.
Yeah, that's the other thing is I don't think there's been one in a long time.
I'm trying to think.
Even the last Paranormal Activity was like 5 years ago. Well, who's to say?
Not me.
All right, well, I'll do my sad one. Get that out of the way.
Okay.
All right, it was just announced yesterday or the day before. That Vampire Diaries author L.J. Smith has passed away at the age of 66 after suffering from a rare autoimmune disease. Her official website released a statement saying, Lisa was a kind and gentle soul whose brilliance, creativity, resilience, and empathy illuminated the lives of her family, friends, and fans alike. She will be remembered for her imaginative spirit, her pioneering role in supernatural fiction, and her generosity, warmth, and heart, both on and off the page. Sad.
Yeah, definitely sad. I never got to read those books.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Yeah. I did watch some of the series. It was fun.
Yeah. Ian Somerhalder's in it, right? That's the one he's in?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's better in Lost. I'm sure of it because he's incredible in Lost.
Oh, okay. He's not very good in Vampire Diaries, but that's okay because the heart of the character is there. So you could tell he was trying. So that's all that matters. But it was really fun. I would love to give the book series a read. So definitely rest in peace.
Yeah. All right. Bring the mood up a little.
All right. I'll try. David F. Sandberg. He is directing the upcoming Until Dawn movie, which releases this month.
Mm.
On his Instagram, he posted a behind-the-scenes video of some of the practical effects. Very exciting. but yeah, it shows how one of the practical effects that was shown in the trailer was done. So if you've already seen the trailer, it's not spoilers. He has a little bit of commentary about where the original idea came from, how they kind of did it and maneuvered the prosthetic and like the moving pieces of it. And then there's also some behind the scenes footage of them actually like shooting the scene. I don't think it was them shooting the scene. It was them getting ready to shoot the scene, kind of like a dress rehearsal type thing. But yeah, pretty interesting. If you're into that kind of stuff, you can check it out on his Instagram. His username is Pony Smasher.
John Carpenter has been super busy with his music career. And next month he's going to be honored with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He's also currently working on scoring, or at least he's promised he's going to score Bong Joon-ho's upcoming horror movie. But it's been 15 years since he has directed a film of his own. He recently did an interview with Variety, however. Variety asked him, when are you going to direct another movie? And Carpenter said he would love to direct again, given the right circumstances. And it sounds like those circumstances are money, because he went on sort of a tangent how hard it is and how he's too old to make a movie on a budget. So it seems like if you pay the man enough, I mean, he's definitely worth it, it seems like.
You give that man a big enough budget, he's in.
He's in. But he also made similar comments in 2019, so we might have to wait another 6 years to find out if that ever actually comes to fruition. But here's hoping. He's open to it. He said it's his favorite thing to direct.
There you go.
Yeah, it's the love of his life, he said.
New Bong Joon-ho horror movie. I'm excited about that.
Oh, yeah.
I still need to see Mickey 17. Fuck.
Oh, yeah. There's so many movies out right now I want to see.
I know. It's kind of giving me decision paralysis.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I know. All right, last news from me. The full trailer for Final Destination's Bloodline was released earlier. I guess if you're listening to this last week, we're recording this on a Saturday, so it was this week. But last week, it was released. It got 178.2 million views worldwide after just 24 hours. And that made it the second most watched horror trailer of all time.
Let me guess the first one.
Okay. Do you want to guess? I know third and first. It pushed a movie to third. And then first stayed there.
Okay, let me think.
Okay.
Let me cook. Third place. Talk to me.
No.
Damn it. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Do you want a hint?
Yes.
Third place came out in the trailer for it came out in the last 5 years.
Oh, okay. That really narrows it down.
Mm-hmm.
It was a horror movie everybody was looking forward to. I don't know.
Do you want a bigger hint?
This is too hard. Yeah, bigger hint.
We're still looking forward to it.
Oh, shit.
It was all over TikTok, Katie. You know this.
I don't know this. I don't know.
It was 28 years later.
Oh, yeah. You're so
late. Yeah. So that got pushed to third. Okay. And then the most watch is 2017's It.
That's fucking crazy.
Is it?
People like that movie?
Yeah.
That's just like a weird, like it's a remake.
Yeah, I think that's probably why. All three of those are sequels or remakes. That's what gets people.
You're right.
It's a franchise that already has a loyal base. That's what's going to get a lot of views and clicks is people who know of it.
That's true, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, the plot looks interesting. It's kind of, again, they say it in the name, bloodlines, lineage, interesting, death's coming for them. But we'll link the trailer in the description so that we can add to those views.
Hooray. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. Not sponsored, by the way.
All right, last one from me. Netflix just announced that there is a live-action Scooby-Doo series coming soon. Yeah, it's 8 episodes. It's written by Josh Applebaum, who's written some of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles screen adaptations, and Scott Rosenberg, they work together a lot, who wrote the live-action Jumanjis and Venom, among many others.
The live-action Jumanjis as opposed to...
Oh, I should have said the remake Jumanjis. Yeah. The remake Jumanjis. Sorry, the two most recent Jumanjis he wrote. And Venom. As opposed to the board game also. The board game's not live action. The board game's a board game, you know?
The board game's not real.
Yes, it is.
Well, after the movie, he has like a prop. Okay.
All right, well, whatever. Anyways, it's going to focus on the creation of Mystery Inc. and the gang's very first cases together.
Okay, fun.
Yeah. No date yet. It's very early in the process, it sounds like. They like just got the order to pump out a series. Mm-hmm. But something to be mad about eventually, because they're not going to cast Matthew Lillard as Shaggy. So it can't possibly be as good as the live action movies.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I don't want to become that crotchety old person who's like, I had the best Joker and Heath Ledger will never, you know, like, it's always the one that you saw the first one is the best one. I'm not opposed to people doing a better adaptation. I just can't possibly conceive a better cast for Scooby-Doo than the 2002 version. Yeah. That was so good.
Yeah.
I'm skeptical, but I'm willing to be sat for it. I'll give him a chance.
Yeah.
You just got big shoes to fill, honey.
Yeah. I think it would be fun if he was like the first villain, like episode one, he's a villain or something. Yeah. I'm sure he'll make an appearance or something. He's been doing all sorts of fun little side quests recently. But if it's the like founding of Mystery Inc., maybe it'll be like kids, you know, like children instead of adults. So then it won't be quite as jarring to see someone other than Matthew Lillard, because it'll be a child. You know what I mean?
I could see them doing like a teen route.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
We'll see.
We will.
Don't know when, but eventually.
One day. All right. Should we get into it?
I think so.
All right. I'll do an overview. The 1974 version, if you haven't seen it or if it's been a while. When Sally hears that her grandfather's grave must have been vandalized, she and her paraplegic brother set out with their friends to investigate. After a detour to their family's old farmhouse, they discover a group of crazed murderous outcasts living next door. As the group is attacked one by one by the chainsaw-wielding Leatherface, the survivors must do everything they can to escape. That's from Google. The 2003 version, which is a remake, is the same plot, but the main character is Aaron instead of Sally. There are some slight differences. She doesn't have a brother in this one, but, you know, you get the drift. The 1974 version was directed by Tobe Hooper, a la Hooptober. We talked about that a little bit last year. It was written by Hooper and Kim Henkel. It stars Marilyn Burns and Gunnar Hansen as Leatherface. It had a budget of around $80,000 to $140,000, and it made $30.9 million at the box office. Did very well. It currently has a 7.4 out of 10 on IMDb, an 84% critic score, and an 82% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. So financially and critically, a success. The 2003 version was directed by Marcus Nispin. The screenplay was by Scott Kozar, obviously based on the original. It stars Jessica Biel, Jonathan Tucker, and Erica Learson, I believe is how you say her name. It currently has a 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb, a 37% critic score, and a 58% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. So, worse. It was not received as well. But it did garner a follow-up. It does have a prequel, technically. But I didn't want to make you watch, you know, every Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie for this episode. So, maybe one day we'll do a whole marathon, but...
Thanks. And in case you missed it, we are talking about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh yeah, did I even say that? That's crazy.
No, but that's okay.
Well, if you couldn't figure it out by the clues I just gave you.
Yeah, and the title of the podcast.
The title and the plot I just described. That's on you. You probably shouldn't. You're in the wrong place. Yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre and the 2003 remake is what we're talking about today.
Why didn't we do the 2022? Because I was being a baby and I didn't want to watch three movies? I don't remember.
Oh, the Netflix one?
I don't know. I just know that there's another one called The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
In 2022, yeah?
Technically, it is not a remake.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's like a follow-up piece. And also, I didn't want to sit through it again.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know. They get worse over time.
If I'm being honest, there's some hits in this franchise and there are some misses.
Yikes.
Yeah, it does have, one of them has maybe one of the most iconic, in a bad way, lines in any horror movie ever. So,
what line?
Do your thing, cuz.
I think we've talked about that line.
I think I maybe told you. Yeah, it's from Texas Chainsaw 3D, I think is the title of it.
That checks out.
It really does, yeah. One day we'll do a whole marathon. Yeah. We'll rank all of them.
Is that like the hitchhiker telling Bubba to do your thing? Cause
do you want me to spoil it for you?
Yes, absolutely.
It is the main character telling Bubba to do his thing. Cause
holy shit,
there's a lot of lore you gotta get into there.
Yeah, that's excessive.
Mm-hmm. But we're not here to talk about that movie. We're here to talk about the original and the 2003 remake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll talk more.
Yeah, you start. Well, okay, wait. Let's do a little. We did this for Silence of the Lambs too. We should call out that there is a little bit of villainization for gender dysphoria in the original. But I think that they sort of solved in the 2003 sort of, because I think it's implied. The gender dysphoria is implied for Leatherface. Because of the women's clothing that he's wearing. I don't know. I'm not very eloquent when talking about important issues. But all to say, we obviously don't support the villainization of any LGBTQ. Whatever word I'm looking for. What word am I looking for?
You know, members of the community.
Members, yeah. Yes.
We are members of that community, so obviously yeah,
we don't
condone that.
Yeah.
I can understand like how that interpretation came about. I don't really see it. Like, he's just wearing people's faces.
Yeah, that's...
He's just, I don't know. I feel like once you get into that aspect of it, is it really... Does it matter whose face he's wearing?
Yeah.
I don't know. And they did kind of... Gunnar Hansen talked about how him and Tobe Hooper kind of came up with... He wore different faces depending on the role he wanted to be. So, like, if he was, like, which, again, yeah, kind of goes into, like, classic gender roles and stuff like that. So you can kind of see how that interpretation has stemmed from it. Yeah. But I did think that you hate to, like, put intentions on people, but I don't think that that was their intention at the time. I think they were just like, oh, we want him to be this blank slate that just changes when he puts on a new face, literally. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the intention behind it, and I don't think that there was any ill will towards that community when that happened. I don't even think it was a thought in their head when that happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but could definitely see how people weren't super happy with that.
Yeah, could construe it that way.
Mm-hmm.
The back half of that movie, the 1974 version, so much screaming. I think I've never really understood the, like, torture porn conversation until this movie, because
interesting,
there's just a lot of screaming, there's a lot of, like, really uncomfortable, like, lingering shots of her screaming.
Okay.
Like, it just feels,
people don't even consider this torture porn.
Yeah, this one is the first one that I've been, like, uncomfortable with the amount of just, like, bad things happening to her, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So that is also interesting that people don't think that. I think that says more about me than it does about other people.
I think what it says is that, because we haven't really watched, like, a torture porn movie.
We watched Terrifier.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay. And you consider this, like, similar to that?
Much more, I don't know what word I'm looking for. I'm having trouble with words today.
Yeah.
Much more, like, almost, like, professionally, Like, okay. Like almost like higher budget in some weird way, even though it was lower budget. Yeah, I mean, I really think it was the screaming that made me so uncomfortable.
It was a lot of screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the filming practices for the 1974 version were not great.
No. Yeah, that was all. Every time I read something else about how it was filmed, I was like, damn.
That
would not fly.
Yeah.
Should we get into that?
We can, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess I'll start with John Dugan, who played the grandfather, even though it was never actually identified as a grandfather. And mm-hmm. technically, Tobe Hooper said that it was supposed to be their brother, but that's a whole separate conversation. He is known at this point as Grandpa.
Yeah.
He went through the process to get all the prosthetics and the makeup done for that. And he basically said, I'm never doing that again. So anything you want to shoot with me in this makeup is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which then went on to be like a 36-hour shoot, mainly that dinner scene that just keeps on going and going where, you know, Sally's screaming the whole time.
Yep.
It was in the middle of the summer, very, very hot. I think they said that inside the house it would get up to like 120 degrees. They had all that food sitting out. They had actual taxidermy animals and untaxidermy animals just sitting around that were like rotting. It smelled horrible. They said many cast and crew members had to leave and go throw up just to come back and keep going. A lot of the actors said that they were it got way too intense. And obviously, yeah. Like heat, we already know is a factor with like in real world, it impacts people's mood to the point where there is more violence happening in summer months than winter, because that is just a thing. Like, it can actually impact people's moods. So like mm-hmm. it was just a recipe for disaster, that scene.
Yeah. I can't even imagine.
No. And Edwin Neal, who played the hitchhiker, even said that he was in the Vietnam War and that filming that scene was worse. Yeah. So
the worst thing that ever happened to him.
So I think you can imagine how terrible that part was.
I guess the scene sort of right before that, where they're cutting Sally's finger and trying to feed the blood to Grandpa, the tube that shot the fake blood out of her finger kept clogging and they couldn't get the shot right. And everybody was just like angry about it. So in the scene that makes the end of the movie, they actually cut her finger without telling her, and just he starts sucking on it. Everybody was insane just trying to get this scene filmed. And their only desire at that point was to get it done. They didn't care about anything except getting it done. And so they did.
Yeah. Which, to be clear, I think Gunnar Hansen admitted that he had done that. So I don't think it was like they all cooked up a plan to just cut her finger.
Yeah.
Did it to her. I think like in the moment he did that.
Mm-hmm.
Not like to defend it at all. That's crazy. What's wrong with you? They were friends because she suggested him for the role because they already knew each other.
Oh.
So I wonder if they were friends afterwards.
Yeah, seriously.
But I think, yeah, it was just like it was a recipe and an environment that caused just a lot of not fun working conditions and probably a lot of hostility.
Yeah.
And on top of that too, I guess Gunnar Hansen has said that he did not get along well with Paul A. Partain, who played Franklin, because he had never been in a movie before, Partain, and he like went full method. So he was acting like Franklin all the time,
yeah.
Which is, if you've seen the movie, very annoying.
Yeah.
He is just a complaining about everything, whining about everything the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think Hansen said that. And I think Marilyn Burns also said that they did not get along. So a lot of their bickering was just them actually bickering because he wouldn't break character.
Yeah. And poor Gunnar Hansen also only had one shirt to wear the entire filming process, which was 4 weeks long. And they weren't allowed to wash it because it was dyed. So we had to wear the same stinking bloody shirt for 4 weeks. And by the end of filming, nobody wanted to sit with him during lunch and nobody wanted to be anywhere near him. So yeah. That was probably a little ostracizing, especially at the end of what's supposed to be like a really happy like rap, you know?
Right. Well, and it didn't help that they, to also get into character at the beginning of the shoot, they weren't talking to him.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to like be friends with the villain, right? Mm-hmm. So then after they met him and most of them die the first time they meet him, then yeah. they were like, okay, yeah, I'll be friends. But then they still didn't want to because he smelled so bad. So he it was like, bad. He just didn't have friends the whole time, which is, that would be shitty.
Yeah. Also, we skipped over this completely. Sally also cut herself. Not only did they cut her finger, she also cut herself really badly, Marilyn Burns, when she's running through the bushes trying to get away from Leatherface in that one scene. I think that's her first like actual chase scene.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the blood on her shirt is real blood because she was getting fucked up by those branches.
Yeah.
She really went through it.
I know. And apparently they hired a stunt double for her jumping out of the window. I don't know if it was just the second story or if it was both times. That girl just sees a window and she's out.
Yeah.
Which I kind of love. Yeah. It's pretty iconic. So it's just, I'm not even trying the front door. I'm out.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Closest exit.
Yeah. But apparently they had a stunt double. And even like when they were filming like the landing of it, she still hurt herself. So it didn't even matter.
Yeah, I think it's funny that she jumps out of the window more often than people are killed with chainsaws in this film.
Yeah. Only Franklin is killed by a chainsaw.
Yeah. Which is not even, like, that's a bad guy. It's not even.
Well, Franklin's not a bad guy.
Oh, no, you're right.
Well, he's annoying. Yeah. But he's a good guy.
Yeah. You're right. You're right.
But yeah, the only time we see the chainsaw injuring anybody, it is Bubba injuring himself. So. Yes. But it also kind of holds true for the remake, which we haven't really talked about yet. I'm sure we'll get into it. But
yeah,
only one person. Two people?
Two people.
Two people are killed by the chainsaw in that one. So
yeah,
not a lot of chainsaw deaths for a movie called A Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah. Which, by the way, chainsaw is one word.
Yeah.
So fix that, please.
They did in the remake.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, the remake, it's one word.
Oh, good. Thank you. That's okay. I'm going to have to improve my rating by half a point.
Okay. Great. I'm just
going to do that real quick.
Technically, in the poster for the original, it's all one word.
That's even
more. I don't know why it's like, I don't know why when it's written out, it's never the one word. I don't know.
Annoying.
Maybe they didn't know.
Maybe it was like a thing in the 70s it wasn't one word yet or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Or it was like a last, because I know they changed the name multiple times. It was originally going to be called Leatherface.
Yeah.
And then I think they changed it to like three other things before settling on Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah, like Mercury and Retrograde was one of them.
Which is hilarious.
Like, what does that have to do with anything?
Well, they're talking about astrology at the very beginning.
Oh my God, you're so right.
Yeah. They're like reading off their horoscopes.
Yeah.
None of this would have happened if Mercury wasn't in retrograde.
Yeah.
That's what caused this.
Yeah. Damn, Mercury.
I know, the planets are to blame.
Another Terry McMinn, who plays Pam, mm-hmm. for her meat hook scene, she was held up by nylon cord that went between her legs. I feel like there was probably a better way to do that. I don't know why they would thread it between her legs. It just sounds like really uncomfortable. They were padded with maxi pads and that's it. She was able to stay up there for about 60 seconds at a time. She said it was so painful that she was able to like conjure that and put it into her performance. But they just like did not treat people well in the filming of this movie.
Yeah, I get that it's like it's low budget and sometimes you have to just like shimmy something together.
Yeah.
But now I'm even trying to like remember that scene and see if we even saw her full body hanging from it. I could have swore that it was just like waist up. So why not just put a block and have her stand on it? Like, I feel like there was a better way for us to do that.
Yeah. Or like put her in a harness. We had harnesses back then.
Yeah, but I could see them not having like the budget for that.
A $60 harness?
Well, back then they were probably more expensive because they weren't used as much. And also, like, how are you going to rig it so that you can't see the harness? Because they probably didn't have
the same money way you rig the nylon.
Yeah, but the nylon is like one string that could go behind the hook. Like a harness is going to have multiple that you'd have to like figure out how to edit that out afterwards, which they probably didn't have the budget for.
Yeah, I guess that's true. No, either way.
I don't know. I'm not a movie maker.
Yeah.
But yeah. I feel like she could have just stood on a block.
or on the ground. Like what?
Well, I get that she had to be higher than him because he hoists her up onto it. So I could see how they would want her to be above to get the illusion.
Yeah.
But babe, a milk crate is nothing. That's budget saving cost right there.
Free. You could have done that for free. I'm just saying. That's cheaper than a nylon cord and pads.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, especially more than pads. Jeez.
Yeah. At least in today's economy.
Yeah.
I don't know about in the 70s. Ay. There were some uncomfortable aspects of making the 2003 remake, too.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when they were shooting the scene where Aaron's hiding in a closet, Jessica Biel was just crying for minutes on minutes. She was crying for a really long time, and she finally comes out of the room because nobody's responding to her and realizes that they had just left her in there to go and do their own thing. They were recording, who was it? Marcus Nispel and Andy Ryan were operating a second camera and shooting inserts for the opening credits.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, just forget your actress, and also she's screaming.
Yeah, I don't know about that. How do you forget? I don't know. Who's to say? Not me. Yeah. I have no idea what went on in that moment.
Yeah, and to forget because you have to go and film B-roll, essentially. Like, why would you be shooting B-roll while you have your actresses, your talent on the clock? Yeah.
I don't know.
Weird.
That was one of the weirdest things I read, because I was like, I don't even know how that would happen.
Yeah.
Unless it's that hectic of a shoot, but I'm also like, if it's that hectic, there had to be like multiple people. So wouldn't someone tell her to stop? Like, I don't.
Yeah. Was she alone crying too? I mean, I guess she was in the closet. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I mean, she was alone acting wise. Yeah. You're telling me there was no crew to be like, hey, he left, you can stop.
Yeah. And wouldn't there have been a camera on her? Like, I don't know.
You would think so.
You would think. Super weird story.
Yeah. That one was confusing to me.
But there were also the, you know, smelly animals, and they couldn't afford as many fake cows as they had intended. So they had live cows in the slaughterhouse scenes. Live cows? Not live. Dead.
Not live. Real like cows. Actual dead cows. Yeah.
And Jessica Biel's vegan, so that was probably uncomfortable for her.
Yeah.
But all to say, there were some bad things that were happening on this filming too, but nowhere near as bad as the original.
The original.
Yeah. Yeesh. Speaking of Jessica Biel. Yeah, Jessica Biel. Jessica Biel.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the first movie I've ever seen her in.
Really?
I think so. I can't think of any others.
Interesting.
But also she has like a really like gravelly voice, you know?
No.
Oh, yeah, she's got, like, a real gravel to her.
Okay. I guess I didn't notice too much.
Let's see. What else is she in?
I know she was known for, like, Seventh Heaven, right?
Oh, yeah, maybe. I haven't seen that. Yeah, I probably saw Planet 51, the animated alien movie.
Okay. You never saw, like, I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry?
I don't think so. That's Adam Sandler movie?
You don't have to, but, you know, I'm just Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one with, like, everybody and their mother is in it?
Yeah, but not New Year's Eve. That was also one that happened.
That was another one.
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay.
Cruel Summer, I feel like I also saw. Either way, not a lot of Jessica Biel going on in my house.
Yeah. How was it? What did you think?
I mean, she was fine. She acted fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. She wasn't the worst part of the film.
No.
No.
Yeah, I think she does a fine job.
Yeah.
I know she did the first season of The Sinner, the TV show.
Oh, what is that?
Very good.
Really?
Yeah, the first season.
She has
Like a kind of anthology. Like it follows the same detective guy each season, but then the cast changes. So it's like a different case each season. But hers was the first one. And it basically is just like the first episode. I mean, not really spoilers because it's the first episode, but like she's at the beach with her family and just kind of like goes into a state and kills a guy. And so the whole season is the detective talking to her and basically trying to figure out like why she killed this guy.
But she doesn't know because she was in a state.
Yeah, she like doesn't super remember everything. So it's, yeah, uncovering that. But it was really good. I liked it a lot.
Oh, fun. Sounds fun.
It was. She was great in it.
Wow. Yeah, she was good in this too. She wasn't terrible.
Yeah, I feel like it was a little like, you know, 2003, but.
Yeah, definitely.
She did fine.
Yeah.
Her character? Girl.
Obnoxious.
The worst final girl maybe ever. Like, what are you fucking doing?
Well, was there any evidence to support that baby was stolen?
Yes, it was the hitchhiker's baby. It was in the photo that they found
where
she's with her family. Yeah, so that's how they knew that it was the hitchhiker's baby. That's how she knew that it was stolen.
Okay.
But yeah, she every turn, she makes the worst decisions. She's just like, no, yeah, let's travel across the town with the dead body in our backseat. No, let's stay. Let's keep going into these people's houses and keep talking to these weird people. Mm-hmm. Let's not grab the chainsaw when it's sitting right next to me and instead go and hit this 6'5" man to save my friend Morgan. And meanwhile, Morgan's fucking dead because of you. Grab the chainsaw. Kill him. What are you doing?
Yeah.
She puts a baby in the front seat of a car, barely secured, and then hits a guy three times. That baby's out the fucking window if this is real life. There is no shot.
Yeah. That was crazy.
What are we doing, Aaron?
Yeah. Seriously. I was really looking forward to her being in the semi truck and taking a little bullet snack.
You wanted her to die?
I wanted her to do what they did at the beginning because that would have been a fun parallel.
Oh, got it.
Also, what a terrible thing to say. Bullet snack, sorry.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah. I didn't know how else to say it.
Grow up. I think it's fun. A fun parallel is that both final girls had a semi truck at their disposal and both chose not to drive it. Also, what happened to the semi truck driver from the original? Because that guy just ran down the road and we never see him again.
Yeah.
She just ditches his ass after he just risked his life for her, gets in another truck and hightails it out of there.
But like, why did they get out of? They were both in the truck.
I don't know.
Give away.
Yeah, when he's like hitting the side, bro, step on it. What are we doing?
He wasn't even scratching the truck either. They were in zero danger, just sitting there in the truck.
They had to prolong the ending, I guess. I don't know. They had to get the scene of him getting hit in the face with a wrench.
I guess so.
Which, by the way, more on that. That was and also on the filming practices. That was the last scene they filmed. Was I was going to say Bubba, but like technically he doesn't have that name in this movie.
I keep calling him Bubba.
Yeah, he's Bubba. That he gets that name in the sequel, TCM2, and then technically in the 2003 version, that's not his name at all.
TCSM. Anyways,
TCSM2. Sorry. But yeah, anyways, Bubba, he gets hit in the face and then falls down and cuts his own leg with his chainsaw. That's the last film scene that they filmed. And apparently Gunnar Hansen the whole time leading up to it was like, how are we going to shoot this? And Tobe Hooper would be like, we'll figure it out when we get there. And Hansen was like, I finally figured out that just meant like, if I die, at least we have the movie shot. Like, that's what he interpreted it to mean. Because then when they finally got to it, all they did, they put a metal plate on top of his leg. And then like a prosthetic, basically, like a slab of meat on top of that that he was going to cut into. And after like filming it multiple times, he actually was in pain because the heat, like the friction on the metal plate, heated it up so bad that he like burnt his leg.
That's crazy. You want to know something terrible?
There was no HR on this set.
Seriously. You want to know something terrible, like in real life?
Yes. Always.
So growing up, I broke a lot of bones. Well, I broke my leg once.
Really?
Yeah. So many bones. Like 15.
I've never broken a bone.
Yeah. Must be nice.
It is.
Yeah. I broke my leg once and I was working at a pool at the time. So I got a waterproof cast in case I ever needed to jump in and like save a child or something.
Yeah.
It wasn't to like swim in. It was just like a just in case kind of thing because they would dry out a little faster and they would dry out as opposed to the regular cast. Well, anyway, I did have to jump in for a kid once with the cast on. And that was the only time I ever got it wet and it didn't actually dry. So my skin got so like pruney when they used the saw that would not cut you otherwise. It shaved off like a good chunk of skin as it was going. Oh my God, it was so painful. But that's what that reminded me of. It was like, it's like I was filming the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
You and Bubba.
Yeah.
You got a lot in common, huh?
Yeah, we do. I can find something in common with anyone. There's one thing about me. I've got a story for fucking everything.
I believe it.
Yeah, thanks. Poor Gunnar Hansen also had two things about him. One, he had to shave off his beard to play Leatherface, I guess. And not Bubba. And that's the first and only time he's ever shaved off his beard. Shaven off his beard. His beard.
Yeah, that's the one.
And to tie it back to the 2003 remake, he was asked to play the role of the trucker at the end of the film, which he didn't get to do, but he was asked.
That's nice.
Yeah. There were a lot of fun casting choices, casting possibilities for the 2003.
Yeah. For Aaron, I know Kirsten Dunst, Katie Holmes, and the other Jessica, Alba, were all in the running.
Jessica Alba is probably too busy with the world's best comedy. Good luck, Chuck.
Yeah.
Probably. I told you at the beginning of filming this episode that I got to talk about everybody that I love.
I just have that might be the most interesting thing about you. Because
I like a movie with penguins in it and a walrus and a dolphin.
Yeah, because nothing else about that movie is good. I think that might be an original experience. Like, you loving Good Luck Chuck, I don't think any other human being has experienced that.
I bet there's a Facebook group. I bet there's a Facebook group of people that love Good Luck Chuck.
At most, there's people who were like, yeah, that was all right. And then they never thought about it again.
I'm looking right now. Yeah, no, there's not a group of people who like Good Luck Chuck. It's just me.
I know. I'm glad that you have finally realized this. But
it's just a dumb slapstick funny movie with penguins in it.
It's not that funny.
It is funny. You need to rewatch it.
I won't be doing that, but I think that you should take pride in that, you know? Just, that's your movie.
I do.
You have a movie that no one else on Earth likes that much.
Yeah. You're right.
You are that movie's biggest fan. How many people can say that? That's crazy.
I might actually be.
I think you are.
I'm a Good Luck Chuck apologist.
Yeah, and I'm the one begging for the apology.
It's just you. Nobody else cares as much as you do.
That's because no one else knows, Katie.
I'm telling the whole world right now, I fucking love Good Luck Chuck. That's a great movie.
Yeah, and our three listeners are appalled. I can tell.
Oh, funny. John Larroquette, the narrator from the original, also reprised his role for the 2003 remake. And the cinematographer of the original, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 1974, reprised his position for the movie.
He did.
So fun.
Yeah. More fun facts about both of them. Okay. John Larroquette was paid for the opening narration in the original. His payment was a marijuana joint, which I think is fun.
Yeah.
And then for the remake, Daniel Pearl actually convinced Marcus Nespo to direct the movie because they were friends and he knew that he would get to do the cinematography if his friend was directing the movie. Mm-hmm. And Nespo at first was like, no, I don't really want to do that. Like, you can't touch the original. I don't want to, you know, do that. It's going to be a failure.
Smart.
And then Pearl basically just told him that if he did it, Pearl's, like, not first and last, but, like, at the beginning of his career and at the end of the career would be the same movie. He was like, I have to do it, please. And that's what convinced him to do it. So.
Oh, okay. That's cute.
That's fun. Yeah.
I mean, the other guy was right. This is kind of suicide to do this movie, but whatever.
I won't give away too much because I don't think this movie's, like, good. But I'm kind of an apologist for the remake.
Okay, that's fair.
I think it's kind of fun.
I didn't say it wasn't fun. It's just not good.
That's fair, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's fine. That's okay.
But I also don't think it was necessarily the director's fault.
Then who's responsible?
I think the screenplay could have used some work.
Yeah, well.
I think there were a lot of very stupid choices made.
Yeah. We'll save our ratings for the end.
Yeah, we will. We're almost there.
Yeah, we're getting close. We haven't talked about the soundtracks. Both movies have fun soundtrack tidbits.
Go for it.
Okay, the first movie, the 1974, the soundtrack contains no sounds from musical instruments, with the exception of a few. They paid royalties for them. Instead, they use sounds an animal would hear in a slaughterhouse.
Yeah, definitely added to the atmosphere.
Uncomfy.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the remake, one fun fact and then one me fact, Marilyn Manson was announced as the composer for the project. Gross. He had to bow out due to conflicting schedules.
Boo, tomatoes, tomatoes, tomatoes.
And you know who replaced him?
Someone you like.
Yeah, Steve Jablonsky, who is a literal acolyte of Hans Zimmer.
Oh.
While Hans Zimmer was doing Driving Miss Daisy, Steve was like, hey, make me your intern. And he became his intern. And now they work on all of the Michael Bay movies together. So they worked on Transformers together. Steve is officially credited for it. They worked on Transformers. They worked on Pearl Harbor together, which Hans Zimmer is formally credited on. And then this is a Michael Bay movie, so yeah. Hans Zimmer could maybe have been a part of it. I mean, he definitely was part of it because he's responsible for Steve Jablonsky's success, I would personally say. But yeah, little Hans Zimmer lore.
Nice. Well, that's definitely fun soundtrack facts for you and other people like you.
Yeah. Also, cool. I knew it was one of the two of them just by the scene where Aaron is killing, what's his face? On the hook. And he's like, kill me, you have to kill me.
Oh.
That scene has like a really like theme to it.
All right, yeah, thick.
Yeah, it's like meaty, it's really hearty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, we don't see that trope very often. I would think that we would have seen that trope more, but I think this is our first time seeing the, you have to kill me.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I can't really think of another example that we've seen. That is crazy, because it is kind of a well-known trope, like, you know.
Yeah.
She went for the stomach, too.
Yeah, why not the heart, or, like, the brain, or, like, literally anywhere else?
Just a little higher, babe.
Yeah.
Rose been through enough.
Yeah.
Two fun facts about ratings for both of the films.
Ooh, yeah.
The original... long-standing rumor, and you'll still see like news articles that'll say it, that Tobe Hooper originally intended it for it to be PG because there was no PG-13 at the time. It was either PG or R. And so a lot of people assumed that that's why there was like no blood, no gore. All the deaths were kind of off screen. However, Kim Henkel, the co-writer, said that that's not true. So I'm kind of taking her word for it. But she said that he never intended it to have a PG rating, that it was always going to be an R rating. Like, that's, you're making a movie called The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's going to be R.
Yeah.
And apparently she said that Hooper worked really closely with the MPAA to make sure that that was what they were going to get.
As opposed to like an NC-17?
Yeah. Or like unrated.
X or whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, and then for the remake, they had to cut or rework a lot of shots to make sure that it wasn't an NC-17 rating. So yeah, they cut out, I think, in the original version of Morgan's death, he's like Terrifier style sliced from crotch up, and like Jesus. All of his intestines were going to fall out.
Oh.
Yeah, the hitchhiker death was cut. Originally, there was going to be like more things flying everywhere when she shoots herself.
Ew.
The kid there Jedediah was. Yeah, there was. Jedediah, the like little kid, he was going to get killed for helping them out. They cut that. Kemper's death was originally more graphic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Pepper's as well. So basically all the deaths were just more graphic, and then a kid was going to die too.
Yeah.
And they kind of just cut all of that.
I mean, you do what you gotta do, I guess.
Also, Kemper.
What about?
Poor Eric Balfour just dying early. No?
No.
He was in Buffy. He plays Jesse, their friend, in the first two episodes. He's their friend that dies. He gets bitten in like the first season, first episode.
I don't remember him. That was a long time ago.
It was
like five seasons ago.
I know.
Or four and a half of Buffy and half of Angel, at least. Sad.
I know.
You see, when it's a man who's getting sliced from crotch to chest with a something, that sounds fun. More fun. At least a little fun. Then I just fucking hate Terrifier.
Yeah.
What I thought you were going to talk about is how the movie was rated, not their ratings.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Do you have a fun fact about how they're rated?
Well, just the original is obviously historically significant. Entertainment Weekly voted it as the second scariest film ever made, right behind The Exorcist. It ranks at number one in Slant Magazine's top 100 greatest horror movies of all time. Quentin Tarantino named the movie as one of the few perfect movies ever made, which he's also made some great movies, unfortunately. It's also included among the 1001 movies you must see before you die, which we've talked about a few of those in the past as well. And meanwhile, the remake got literally some of the worst ratings of any horror movie ever. So.
Well.
Fun.
I wouldn't say that.
Well.
There's a lot of horror movies rated a lot worse.
What's that one guy named? Robert Ebert or whatever?
Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert. Yep.
Maybe it's Ebert. Didn't we look at.
We've talked about
how to say his name.
Yeah. Either way, he gave it a zero.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he notoriously has always hated horror movies, so.
Well.
I don't really take what he has to say to heart that often.
I guess. One more fun fact about the 1974 version from me.
Okay.
Edwin Neal, who plays the hitchhiker in the original, said that Texas state troopers told him that crime decreased by 18% because people stopped picking up hitchhikers after the release of this film.
Good. Why were we doing that in the first place?
Seriously.
Come on, people.
I told you my hitchhiker story.
Yes, you did.
Crazy. Any other fun facts?
Only one. For the remake.
Yeah.
This was the first time. Not the only time, but the first time, I think, that Grandpa was not part of the family. In the four movies, I think he was there, so.
I mean, there is
they
a
cut grandpa.
There is a man in a wheelchair.
Oh, yeah, but he's not grandpa.
Right, but he's a grandpa.
Well, he's an older man. I don't know if he's grandpa age.
Looked it to me.
Yeah, but the iconic character of grandpa. Yeah. Not there.
So he is in other films, and he's the same vibes in the other films?
I haven't seen all of them, so I can't speak to it. And also the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, they leaned much more into the comedy.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you might be thinking, like, what do you mean? There was no comedy in the first one.
There was
a little
bit.
There was supposed to be.
There was a little bit.
I will say the only scene, because Tobe Hooper has talked about it, where he's like, it was a dark comedy. Like, why didn't the audience see that? Yeah. And I'm like, babe, the only time that I thought it was genuinely funny is when they're trying to get Grandpa to hit her with the hammer. Like, that's funny. But also, like, her screaming the whole time kind of takes you out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
But that was a genuinely, like, firmly grasp it type of vibe. Yeah. That I thought was very funny. Other than that, I didn't get the vibes of it being a dark comedy.
Well, some of the banter.
Yeah, but that doesn't really like translate to comedy to me. Yeah. Like, I expect people to like have banter when they're supposed to be friends. That's just part of dialogue, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's true, yeah. Interesting. Who knew? You heard it here first. It was supposed to be a dark comedy.
Maybe you heard it here first. If you're a fan of the series, you knew.
You knew that.
But yeah, so he definitely leaned more into that in the second watch. But I don't think I've seen the third or the fourth one.
Oh, get on that.
Yeah. Well, there's one that came out in 1995, which I think is the fourth one. And it stars... It stars Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, but apparently they tried to get it like removed from the face of the earth because it's so bad and they didn't want to be associated with it. So
that's insane.
I kind of want to watch it.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
It's on my list, but.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Tune into the next episode of Killer Keys Podcast where we talk about Texas Chainsaw Massacre 4.
Just that one. We're going to skip 2 and 3.
A whole episode just dedicated to that one, yeah. Oh, funny.
Yeah. All right, should we rate them?
Yeah, let's rate them. Let's do them together. How scary did you think they were?
Okay, I like it. I gave the original a 1 out of 5. Mm-hmm. Older movies don't really scare me, but I did give it like half a point because I do think the vibe is unsettling. Like, yeah. they were going for it. I think if I had watched this, like, if I was a teenager when this came out, I would have been freaked out for sure. The remake, I gave it a bump. I gave it a 2 out of 5 because I still remember watching this for the first time when I was 11 years old at my grandparents' farmhouse in the middle of bumfuck nowhere, and it ruined my entire week. So
that's crazy.
I have to give it some credit because I remember being terrified the first time I watched this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't like people killing people.
Well.
I don't want to be chainsawed to death.
Yeah, this is crime.
And I don't want to be in Texas. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's the worst part.
That is the worst part.
Add another point for that.
Yeah. 5 out of 5 for being in Texas.
Yeah, I mean, it's really unfortunate because Texas is actually very beautiful, but
yeah,
everything else about it is terrible.
Yeah. What did you give them?
I gave the 1974 version a 1 out of 5 scary. It's not scary. But it is scarier than the other one. So I had to give it some points. The other one I gave a 0.5.
That's valid.
Yeah. I do not have a farmhouse on which I spent a week with my grandparents to watch horror movies, I guess. So.
Well, my cousin at the time was just really into them. So he was always watching them.
Yeah.
And I was faux brave. I was like, yeah, no, I love horror movies. I didn't.
Oh, sad.
And also, I was 11. I don't think I should have been watching that movie.
Yeah, maybe not.
But I did. Well, and I was pissing and shitting and crying. How sexy did you think they were?
I think there's a certain, like, 70s vibe about the first one. But, like, a lot of what makes the 70s sexy was lost very quickly in the film. So I only gave it a 1. So I didn't give it half a point, technically. For the 2003 remake, I mean, look, there's not a decade past the 60s that doesn't have some kind of sex appeal. And early 2000s is one of those decades. So I also gave it a 1.
Okay.
How about you?
I gave the original a 0.5.
Okay.
Any 70s sex appeal that it could have had was just disintegrated by the grime, and it looked like it smelled bad. Like, it looked gross. You know what I mean? Which is the point.
Yeah.
I didn't. No. No.
Okay. Yeah.
That's not for me. The remake, I gave a 1.5 out of 5. Mainly for the cast and the fact that Jessica Biel wore the shit out of that outfit. I'm not gonna deny it. That was a good outfit.
Yeah. Okay, fair.
Yeah.
How fucked up did you think it was? They were.
The original, I gave a 1.5 out of 5.
Okay.
I gave it a full point. Kind of for the overall concept. Like, the vibes of it are just gross. And also a little bit of a point for the filming practices, because reading about all of that, I was like, that just adds to it, because you know that they were all in hell filming this, so.
Yeah.
And then the remake, oh, I didn't put a score.
Quick, what does your heart say?
Like a 1.5 or a 2, because I do think it was more gory than the first one, and Andy's death was fucked up. Not only does he get his leg taken off, then he puts salt in it, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And then him, like, lifting himself just to fall back down.
No thanks.
I would hate to be that guy.
Yeah, I'm getting queasy.
Yeah. So I feel like that maybe is a little bit higher than the first one. So I'll give it a 2 out of 5.
Okay, cool.
Okay. What about you?
Well, the first one I gave a 2. The 1974 version I gave a 2. Again, the filming of it was what was the most fucked up. Mm-hmm. And the film itself is mostly suggestive, not really explicit. So I only gave it a 2. And the remake, I actually also gave a 2. Because, I mean, it was significantly more graphic. The salt on the leg, though, was really the only thing that we haven't seen. Had we gotten the, like, NC-17 version, then, like, obviously that would have been a lot higher. But we've seen everything else, so I could only give it a 2.
The puck pulling.
I mean, that was definitely uncomfortable. But I mean, yeah, not like, I mean, we play Dead by Daylight all the time.
So true. It's like, no, we don't.
We did. We played.
We used to.
We played Dead by Daylight all the time.
Yep. All right. Overall, what'd you think?
The 1974 is a classic. There's no denying that. You got to give credit where it's due. It is well shot. It's well acted. I think it was kind of uniquely shot too, because, I mean, we talked about how it's just suggestive. Nothing's actually happening on screen. I love a drive-in movie, I think is what they're called, where it's like, you know, this happened in 1973, but it didn't actually happen. I'm the first to fall for those. That said, there is a little bit of like outdated vernacular. It didn't age like spectacularly. But I gave it a 4. Yeah. Of the cannibal masked wearing killers, the two that we've watched, this ranks just below Silence of the Lambs. So seems to be my niche, because I really did enjoy that, the 74 version. The 2003 version, on the other hand, I mean, they were fighting a losing battle. I get the money grab of the remake. I really do. But this is not one of the better remakes we've seen. I think Cars 3 is a better remake and better horror movie, if I'm being honest. But I still gave it a 2 because there were some redeeming qualities. It was fun to watch.
What do you mean Cars 2?
Cars 3. Cars 2 is great. What? Cars 3.
Is it a remake?
Well, it's a sequel.
Oh.
You
said it was a better remake and horror movie. What happens in Cars 3?
It does kind of get scary. It's not a remake, though. You're right. The joke fell flat, but it is still a better horror movie. There were still some redeeming qualities. I gave it a 2. It solved some of the poorly aged aspects. It did its darndest to modernize the plot. I think we kind of lost the final girl. I'm supposed to be talking about what I liked about the movie, but I'm going back to, I think we did kind of lose the final girl aspect because we had Jedediah or whatever his name was. Jeremiah. What the fuck was his name? The kid, the child?
Jedediah?
Yeah. He like helped. So that was like,
oh, Sally didn't get any help?
No.
The truck driver who came out and threw the wrench to help her get away? The truck driver who came and helped her get away? No, that's not
Well, help. But that was, she got out of the house on her own accord.
Okay.
And then she just needed to get a little further and the truck driver. You know what I mean? Okay, anyway. And then, of course, Steve Jablonski was the composer, so I have to give it something for that. I gave a 0.5 for each of those elements. It's a 2.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, I rambled a little bit, but...
No, that's okay.
Thank you.
What's a podcast if not us rambling?
Okay, what did you give it? What did you give them?
For the original, kind of exactly what you said. It's a classic. I respect what it did for the horror genre and low-budget movies and indie movies. Like, it did a lot for that. This is, like, one of the earliest examples of a mass killer, so that's really fun. Mm-hmm. I do think, like, the first half of the movie is kind of ruined because Franklin is so fucking annoying. And then the second half is kind of ruined because Sally is so fucking annoying. Yeah. So this movie is kind of like a sensory nightmare for me. I can't watch it very often because of that. So I did take a point away from it for that, and I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Wow.
Yeah. The 2003 version, I'm kind of an apologist for it. I don't think it's as bad as people make it out to be. I think it's kind of fun, but the characters do make like the dumbest decisions ever. And while I don't think Erin, like, it took away from the final girl aspect like you thought, I do just think that she makes a lot of stupid decisions, so she's not that, like, very good of a final girl, in my opinion. But yeah, so I gave it a 2.5 out of 5.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not that much of an apologist, but, like, I'll be honest, if my friends on a weekend were like, which one do you want to watch? I might choose the 2003 version because I'm not going to listen to Sally scream for an hour. Like, yeah. I just can't. I can't do it. So, yeah.
Which is funny because that did happen. We came to your house and we're like, which one should we watch? And we watched the 1974 version.
That's true. But I did that because A, you'd never seen it. And yeah. B, we were going to Universal Studios Horror Nights, which was based on the original, so I'm like, you should see that. Like, and I do think it was a good representation of it. Like, the maze was, it felt like you were in the movie.
Yeah,
it kind of smelled like you were in the movie.
Yeah, it smelled like it too.
Yeah, so yeah, that's why I chose that. If I had a friend over and they'd seen both of them and they were like, which one do you want to watch, I might choose the 2003 version.
Yeah,
not because it's better, just because it's more tolerable for me.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Well, fun.
All right. Final question. Would you survive?
No.
Neither of them?
No.
All right.
Nope. No question. No comment.
Just,
how about you?
Just a solid no.
Yeah. No, no way. I mean, I don't have the fight in me that Sally had or Erin had. So it's just like, you know, whatever. Bye.
Yeah. I'm not jumping out a window.
No way.
That's crazy.
Twice?
At least the second one was on the first floor. I might do that.
Yeah.
I think in the first one, if we're saying that I have to pick up the hitchhiker, then yeah, I'm dead. I would never pick up a hitchhiker.
Correct.
So if I can say that that's the situation, I'm not picking him up and therefore he's not marking my van, so I might live.
Yeah.
Is that a cop-out? I don't know.
Well, I think you have your peers to pressure you into picking up the hitchhiker either way.
Yeah, but I'm not friends with people who would pick up hitchhikers. And I wouldn't be in the car if they were going to pick up a hitchhiker. I'd be like, great, you guys pick them up and I'll walk. That's fine. Yeah. But that feels kind of cop-outy. So I'll say that I die in the first one. In the second one, though, even after they pick up the hitchhiker, they have 800 times that they could have left and they don't. And I would have left. I'm sorry. I'm not driving through town because the sheriff won't come and get this body.
Yeah.
I'm not driving through town with a body in the backseat. Sorry. That's that lady's problem now.
Yeah.
I'm out. Oh, your boyfriend's missing? Great. I'll call the police when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. I could take Erin. I'll beat that bitch down for those keys. We're leaving.
Yeah. Bye.
Yeah, it's a 2003 version. I'm out of there.
Yeah, you're more of a pepper.
I'm more of an aggressive pepper.
Yeah.
I'm with the boys. We're leaving. Peace out.
Yeah.
Ew. Ugh. With the boys? That's so unlike me.
Oh, yeah.
That just proves how bad Erin was. Jesus, girl. Seriously. Come on. I could change her.
That's what they all say.
Yep. All right. Do you want to predict next week's movie?
No, I think you should.
Oh. Okay. I'll do my best. Okay. Next week, we're going to talk about a new release. It just came out last Friday, if you're listening to this. We're going to be talking about Death of a Unicorn. All right. So there's a girl and her dad. I watched the trailer, so that's what I'm going to go off of.
Yeah.
They're driving, and I think they're going to his boss's house. And so, because he's got like a work thing.
Okay.
That's what I'm gathering. So they go, and they hit a unicorn, and they kill it.
What the fuck is it with all these movies where you hit the animal with your car?
That's just a formula for horror movies. You got to stick to it.
Yeah, okay.
So I think they keep it. They put it in the trunk. And then they drive to the house because they don't want to be late, right? And then they get there. And then somehow it's discovered that they have this unicorn. And I think he works for people who do, like, research and testing of some sort. So then they start testing the unicorn to use its, like, natural properties to see if it can, like, cure diseases and stuff.
Like Voldemort.
Exactly like Voldemort. And so then I think that the unicorn's parents want it back. And they come after them. And Jenna Ortega, who plays the daughter, is like, yo, we should give this back. Like, they're pissed. Like, we got to give the body back. And yeah. They're the, like, rich research work people are like, no, like, we're keeping it. And so then the parents of the unicorn start attacking them and killing them. And I think Jenna Ortega lives. I think she, like, comes to a understanding and a deal with the unicorns. And that's how it ends.
I love that. You think she becomes the queen of the unicorns?
I don't know if they have one.
I hope so. I hope they do. And I hope it's Jenna Ortega.
Yeah, same.
You think the dad lives? Paul Rudd?
Yeah. I think it's going to be them two walking out of there.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think the horn is a bomb.
Okay.
And I think that one of the adult... Mm-hmm. unicorns sets off their horn bomb mm-hmm. in the research facility, and that's how the mother, who is pregnant with another one, so they can continue, because they're really rare.
Yeah, okay.
They can continue
the horn bomb.
Yep. And the horn, and the father sacrifices himself.
He's going to sacrifice himself. Okay, cool. Well, can't wait to find out. I haven't gone and seen it yet. It's still in theaters. I'm probably going to go tomorrow.
Oh, fun.
Maybe. Oh, now I feel like I committed to that. I'll go see it soon. Yeah. But
eventually. We'll see it eventually before we have to record again.
Exactly.
That's what we're committing to.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to the episode. We appreciate it. Let us know your thoughts on TCM. Let us know which in the series is your favorite. Let us know what Jessica Biel movies you've seen. And please like and subscribe.
And like and subscribe. Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Beat you to it. All right. Thanks so much for listening. We will see you next week when we talk about Death of a Unicorn. Bye.
Bye.